This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Voilà. Wabat. Go ahead, Abdullah.
Go. You mean to read the Arabic first? وعن أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الهرة إنها ليست بنجس إنما هي من الطوافين عليكم. أخرجه الأربعة وصححه الترمذي وابن خزيمة.
Narrated Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about the cat that it is not unclean but is one of those who intermingle with you. Reported by Al-Arba'a, meaning Abu Dawud, Tirmizi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah, and Ibn Khuzayma graded it sahih.
Graded as sahih. Now, Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man wala, wa ba'd. Abu Qatada, one of the famous companions, his name is Al-Harith ibn Rib'i Al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu. Faris Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Faris, يعني, he's the Prophet sallam horseman. He witnessed the battle of Uhud, Shahida Uhudan, wama ba'daha, and the battles after Uhud. He died in Medina, and it's been said also he died in Al-Kufa during Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu's time. وكان شديد الولاء لعلي بن أبي طالب وهو ممن حارب معه. He was very loyal to Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه, and among the people who fought with Ali all his battles. He died in 54 Hijri. This hadith has a story which is Abu Qatada رضي الله عنه وأرضاه once want to make wudu. فَسُكِبَ لَهُ مَا لِيَتَوَضَّأَ مِنْهِ. And the one who brought the water to provide it to Qatada رضي الله عنه so he can make wudu from it was his son-in-law Kabshah his daughter-in-law Kabsha bint Ka'b. So his daughter-in-law came with the water to provide her father-in-law so he can make wudu from it. While basically she said, this is the container which has the water. فجاءت هرة. A cat came. فأصغى إليها. He took the container all the way down to the cat and let the cat drink from the water. As if the cat knows that this is a water, so he put it, or basically, let's see, he was sitting, whatever the case was. So he made the water available for the cat to drink from it. And she was looking at him and like surprised. قَالَ أَتَعْجَبِينَ يَبْنَةَ أَخِي. Are you surprised, daughter? فَقِيلَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ. فقال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنها ليست بنجس إنما هي من الطوافين عليكم والطوافات. He said, are you surprised by wudu? Are you amazed or look strange to you? This is not, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that cats are not najis. They are not impure. They're not unclean. They're not. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's one of those who intermingle with you. At-tawafina alaykum wa-tawafat. This hadith reported by the scholars that you heard, not only that Ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah categorized it as an authentic, but Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah aydan sahah al-hadith. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said that this is an authentic hadith, as well as al-Imam al-Uqayli al-Kabir, sahib al-Du'afa, and another great scholar in hadith, his name al-Dharqutni rahimahullah, as al-Hafidh ibn Hajar mentioned that in al-Talkhis al-Habir. There is a narration in Sunan al-Dharqutni min عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصغي للهرة الإناء حتى تشرب ثم يتوضأ منه. That the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم sometimes will bring the water close to the cat to drink from it, then he will make wudu from that water. الهرة, the cat, known, and intermingle because cats, they always like to come around. Even though cats, they like to come around usually when they want to eat, they want something from you. But other than that, they will go hide for Osama, he knows cat, you know. So, but in the point is the cats are very known to intermingle, very known to be around, you know, to come inside the house. You know, I have a cat in my house. I find it everywhere. You know, sometimes you walk up in the middle of the night, you see it in the bed. You see it in the kitchen. That day somebody was calling me, making a sandwich, found the cat on the counter. You know, cats are very friendly, you know. They're like known to be very friendly to human if they are used to human. So, at-tawafin, intermingle, it means enter the house and exit from the house a lot. And the word at-tawafin been described, used to describe also al-khadam, to describe the servants. طَوَّافُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ في سورة النور, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those servants, they طَوَّافُونَ, يعني they come, they intermingle with you, and they come in, they basically get inside the house and get out. So what this hadith shows? This hadith shows us that cats are the cat's mouth, the cat's saliva, the cat's hair, the cat's, anything in the cat, the body of the cat, is not najis. It is something pure. Okay? And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam justify that by saying, what's the reason? إِشْ عِلَّتْ كَوْنِهَا طَاهِرًا. What's the reason that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the cat tahir? Because you might say, Sheikh, I see the cat licking its own, you know, bottom, for example. I see the cat touching the dead mice, eating the mice. I see the cat eating or licking something which is najis, impure. So why would be allowed for us to consider it tahir? And pure, and it's not najis. لأن عندنا في علم أصول الفقه الأب أن مجيء إن قال إنها من الطوافين. إن إذا جاءت بعد النهي أو بعد الأمر أو الخبر بحكم ما فإنها تكون تعليل لهذا الأمر أو لهذا النهي أو لهذا الخبر الذي ورد فيه حكما في الشر. So anytime it's a format in Arabic language. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he make a statement or an order or forbid something, then he follow that or connect that to the word إن. إن, it means because this. So النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إنها ليست بنجس إنما. إن هنا إضيفت إليها ما الموصولة إنما هي من الطوافين عليكم والطوافات. خبر من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها ليست نجس. A statement by the Prophet that it is not najis. It is something pure. Why? Because it is among those intermingle with you. طيب, question. What's the benefit of saying this? يعني أنا مش أبغى أتفلسف عليكم. I'm not here to complicate things. By, or the fuqaha, when they say that. Why you think the fuqaha, the scholars, will tell you that this is illat al-tahara. This is the reasoning why we said that the cat is not najis. You, because the first came to your mind when I say this is not najis because Oh, because it washed itself. Because it's, you're going to think of something like, but then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, because it intermingled with you a lot. So what we learn from that? What's the, why we mentioning or pointing out the reasoning behind the ruling? Because that's what al-qiyas comes. Analogy comes. Al-qiyas yakun ala al-illah. So basically, if I know the reasoning behind it, the reasoning why this is halal, why this is not najis, I can apply it to other things as well. Idhan, ya'khudh hukm al-hirra, anything that intermingle in the house. Anybody here has a pet other than a cat and a dog? Yes. Parakeets. Very good. So if you have this, like this basically bird, or you have, what else? Hamster, or you have fish. Somebody see, I see the fish eating dead fish. Sorry? I see the eating the other fish poops. And I touch the fish with my finger. Would that make it najis? You know what? I have ferret. I have my home. We have a snake as a pet. Good luck, Ammar, with that. Okay. So, I heard Ammar put a condition for my daughter not to bring the snake in. I have to stuck with it. Anyway. So, so here you see that these things is najis. Snake doesn't apply because snake is not intermingling. But in some cultures, they will have ducks. They have chicken. Right? They go all the way in the house and, you know, inside. If you live in certain cultures or certain countryside. In this case, we say anything like this, which is intermingled inside the house with you. I know my wife at one point, she had a raccoon as a pet, okay? They were very friendly as a pet growing up. Also, rabbit, some people have it as a pet. Ducks and so forth. So these things, because it intermingled and all around, you know, in the house, it became not najis. You don't worry about the najasa of their mouth, the najasa of their hands. You might say, okay, Sheikh, but it stepped on something. What if it stepped on the carpet? Do I need to clean? Do I need to check out? No. The cat, I see the cat go to the litter box and comes out. Do I need to worry about the steps of the cat? No. Everything in it has became not najis. Because if we gonna follow that and we say, oh, what is in it, and maybe step on this, maybe it touch the mouth, touch something impure, then touch the plate, the life will be almost impossible. Taib, some fuqaha said, some fuqaha made analogy, and I want to take your opinion about it. قَالُوا يُقَاسَ عَلَى الْهِرَّةِ الْفَأْرِ. They said, rats, or, you know, mice. What do you guys think? Is this analogy correct in your opinion? Jameel, why? Very good. She applied the rule. How we make qiyas? We look at the reasoning. The reasoning is intermingling. It's a problem if rats intermingle in your house with you, you know? That's a bigger problem than najasa here, you know? So the not, al-fa'r khawaf wa laysa tawaf. Al-fa'r, don't intermingle. Fa'r, rats and mice, they run away. They don't intermingle. That's right? So that's why we don't say that they are. The other one, which is Usama said, there is hadith specifically mentioned that they are najis. If someone said, I have a pet like a pig, little piggy, you know, that's my pet. We say it makes a difference? No, because it's haram, because pigs are najis. The Nas have said it's najis. According to those who believe dogs is najis, it's going to be also no exception. طيب. That's why we say that if you see the cat eat or touch with its mouth, with its hand, anything impure, that will not make the hand or the mouth impure. SubhanAllah, it is basically something for God. The only thing some ulama said that maybe, I'm not even very big fan of that opinion. They said, if you can see the najasa on their mouth, if you can identify it clearly on their mouth or on their hand or in their basically nose, that's case, it became najis. But even this not very popular. The ulama said, you don't even look, you don't care, because it's almost impossible to identify that. That also reject the opinion of some of the ulama, قالوا, إِذَا بَاشَرَتِ النَّجَاسَ تُتْرَكْ بَعْضُهُمْ قَلْ يَوْمْ وَلَيْلَ وَبَعْضُهُمْ قَلْ سَاعَ. Some of the fuqaha said, if you see it eating or touching with its mouth something najis, impure, so that means the mouth became najis for a whole day, or like, it doesn't make no sense, they clean themselves all the time. So that means it's going to be najis all the time. And that's not correct. Here, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, followed the hadith of the dog, which is washing the utensil 7 times, one of them, the first one with sand, followed by the cat, so nobody can think they take the same ruling. To show you that the Sharia comes to differentiate. الشرع هذا عجيب. الإسلام, it's an amazing thing. يعني he makes things halal and things haram. Things allowed to touch, things not allowed to touch. Today, I had a case of 2 new Muslims. They were Hindus. And they became Muslim. Married to each other for a while. They have 3 kids. Okay? Love each other. They decide to be Muslim. But what is the problem? The problem is, he said, Sheikh, or the Sheikh who asked me the question, they went to an Imam Masjid, and the Imam Masjid asked me. He said, Sheikh, the problem, I said, what's the problem? He said, the Sheikh, the husband told me that his wife's mother, his mother-in-law, breastfed him when he was a baby. Many times, like definitely more than 10, 15 times. So they have 3 kids. And some of these kids older. About 8, 9, 10 years old. And they love each other. Both want to be Muslims. And now they tell me. And I told them, they cannot be together. She is his sister. It's absolutely haram. They have, that's it. There is no like exit for them. The only thing is, you don't need to stress out this point right now. And when you know this, you don't need to basically start with it, because you might may close the door for them to accept Islam. But as Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said, the new Muslims and the person who knew in Tawbah, you don't have to teach him everything at once. Because if you do that, he might be overwhelmed and refuse to enter Islam or refuse to repent. But you let him learn gradually. And he said, and also because the rules apply to those who knew the rules. And you became responsible when you knew the rules. As long as you don't know the rules, you're not responsible in front of Allah. For you as a mufti, don't rush the information to him to put him in trouble. And don't like say, oh, I have to tell him. You don't have to tell him. Let them take it step by step until he gets to learn. But this case is different because the guy knows the ruling. And he coming to ask. And I said, they have to live together. Alhamdulillah, she's his sister. They live like brother and sisters, mahram to each other. And they raised the kid. But Shiva al-Islam separated them from being husband and wife to be a brother and sister. And alhamdulillah, they're accepting it. This is the power, in my opinion. That's the power. Nobody have this power like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give them, Ya Rab, tawfiq. But it was a tough call today. actually, it's a very tough call today for me to make. Because I just imagine myself in their shoes, you know. Wallahi, I'm telling to all those brothers and sisters who've been Muslims all their life, Wallahi, you are a ni'mah ma'alam biha illallah. If you know how many cases that I have to deal with and scenarios like this, you'll say alhamdulillah. Because it's not easy. Wallahi, it's not easy just to put yourself in a position that you are at one point, you accept Islam or not. Have the young man here, mashallah, when he became Muslim, just ask yourself, if you were that person, would if you accepted Islam or not? Allah alam. Allah knows. If you all your life, all your family lived in one way, and now, can you imagine now we refuse to leave our cultures, even though the ahadith and the nusus is very clear, but because it's part of our culture, it is almost impossible to say no to it. Can you imagine to leave your deen, your religion, your faith, your culture, everything you learn, you're taught all your life, and now you have to move to another religion? هذا توفيق لا يعلم به إلا الله. This is a guidance, open the heart. That's why the reward is unbelievable. That the reward is to clean slate, wiping out every single sin in their life, start over. And as for the urine and the feces of the cat, it is not pure. It is impure. So the urine and the feces of the cat is impure. Okay? And this is the strongest opinion among the scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala. As Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, said in his book, Al-Majmu', he said, the urine of any animal that we don't eat, we're not allowed to eat, it's najis. Any animal that you're not allowed to eat, you can, the urine of it, and absolutely the feces, من باب أولى, is najis. So any animal that you are allowed to eat, their urine is pure. Like the goat, like the cow, like the camels, okay? And why? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in regard to the urine of the camels and the urine of that in it there is a cure and things of that nature. But if this is something you're not allowed to eat, the urine of it, it is najis. That's Malik, that's Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Ahmad said that. Just for the record, so you don't get confused, you find Imam Malik would say, for example, that the urine, the Malikis, the urine of the cat is pure. طيب, you just said that the urine of anything not allowed to eat is what? Najis. And you just said Malik said that. How can you said Maliki, they said that? It's because in the Maliki madhab, they allowed eating cats. So they don't consider it an animal that you're not allowed to eat. You're allowed to eat. ونحن عندنا قاعدة في باب اللحوم من أجمل القواعد. We have a rule that makes things easy in your life when it comes to food. كل ما أمر بقتله حرم أكله. كل ما نهي عن قتله حرم أكله. كل ما نهي عن بيعه حرم أكله. Anything not allowed to kill, you're not allowed to sell, you're not allowed to, you are ordered to kill, you're not allowed to eat. Anything Islam order you to kill, must kill, or recommend you to kill, you're not allowed to eat it. For example, the Prophet ﷺ قال, من قتل الوزغ من أول ضربة له مئة حسنة. The gecko, if you kill it from the first head, that's 100 hasana. Yeah. كانت عائشة has a spear. She used to hunt them. And she killed them from the first hit. Why? Because كان ينفخ على إبراهيم النار يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صحيح البخاري. Anyway, so this is something النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اقتلوا الخمسة الفواسق. Five things if you see you're allowed to kill. One of them scorpion. So you're not allowed to eat scorpion. Okay? So here, five things the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said you're not allowed to kill. So that means you're not allowed to eat. Like what? Al-dufda, the frog. You're not allowed to kill. So that means you're not allowed to eat. Al-nahla, the bee. You're not allowed to kill. Unless it is harmful. But if you can, you just don't see a bee in the street and you just, you know, outside. It's not bothering you. It's not like having a house or anything like, you know, starting a nest next to your home or kind of bother you. No, just coming to basically to the flowers in your garden. You're not allowed just to go kill it. Anyway, there's things the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for inshallah, will come when we study the chapter about food. We'll go through. But this is just an example. So you're not allowed to eat it. Also, anything the Prophet ﷺ forbade to sell, you're not allowed to eat. And one of the things the Prophet ﷺ forbade to sell, the hirra, the cat. You cannot allow to sell it. In Nabi ﷺ, نهى عن ثمن السنور. He forbade the money for the cat. So, there is more into this, like, is there an exception of, for example, someone spends so much money and spends so much, invest in it, kind of. Can he get his money back? I do believe cats not allowed to sell, period. The only thing allowed to sell, even if some, he forbade also selling what dogs. But the only time it's allowed to sell dogs, if it's a trained dog. But cat, trained dog, cats. Unless you train cats, that's something else. You know, I don't know if they use them in security. Yeah, I don't kill them. Yeah. You know, when I came to America, I found a big difference between the lizard that you talk about is not the wazagh. The wazagh that they talk about, the one that's clear, you can see the vein inside them. It is one strange, ugly-looking creature. Anyway. Next hadith. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال جاء أعرابي فبال في طائفة المسجد فزجره الناس فنهاهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما قضى بوله أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذنوب من ماء فأهريق عليه متفق عليه. Narrated Anas ibn Malik, Bedouin came and urinated in one corner of the masjid. And people shouted at him. Okay? But Allah's messenger stopped them. And when he finished, the Bedouin, urinating, the Prophet ﷺ ordered for a bucket of water, which was spilled over it, agreed upon. This hadith is one of the most authentic hadith because it's Bukhari Muslim agreed upon. Very known as hadith Bawl al-A'rabi, the urine of the Bedouin. Bedouins are the one who don't live in Medina. Okay, so, and in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to encourage people not to live in the desert, to move and to live, not as a Bedouin, to live as a part of the city. Because this is beautiful. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want to start this civilization. Don't want people to live in the desert. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam كان يعطي البادية نصف العطاء من أهل المدينة. If you live in Medina, you'll take a full term. Like if there is a government's gift, and from the Bayt al-Mal, you get full term if you live in Medina. You get half if you live in the desert. And that one of the reasons to encourage people to move to the city. So they became civilized. So those people don't live in Medina. And when you don't live in Medina, you live in the desert, that means you're not very familiar with the rulings and the etiquettes of Islam because of ignorance. And As-San'ani rahimullah mentioned that some ulama said that this Bedouin was Dhul Khuwaisirah al-Yamani. Dhul-Khuwaysar al-Yamani is the one who later on, years after that, in the battle of Hunayn, he said, Ya Rasulullah, i'dil fa'innaka lam ta'dil. He said, Ya Muhammad, you're not fair in the way you distribute the money. And the Nabi was very angry at him. And he said, who will be just if I'm not just? Who will be fair if I'm not fair? Anyway, this Bedouin came. فَرَأَ نَاحِيَةً فِي الْمَسْجِدِ He saw, basically, a ta'ifa min al-masjid. بَالَ فِي طَائِفَةٍ masjid. He saw an empty spot. And he went and he started urinating in it. He thought it's like the house. You know, the houses in the old days, they have like in the corner outside, you know, some corner where people urinate. So he thought it's like the house, the masjid looks like. Also, remember, the Prophet ﷺ masjid at that time has no walls and it is, has no carpet or anything. It's just floor. It's just like, you know, sand and ground, like not carpeted. So when people saw him doing this, urinating in the masjid, they got what? So angry. Absolutely. Can you imagine if you see someone urinating in the masjid? What you will do? You got to beat him up. That's like, you know. By the way, it happened in Houston without mentioning the masjid's name. A guy came in Ramadan on the weekend and he was completely drunk. And you know, they drink alcohol, they want to go. And he came and he urinated in one of the masajid. Man, the people beat him up and they were, it was very bad. I said, SubhanAllah, and the same incident took place. But I understand the people's reaction because I see the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were so mean. Zajarahu an-nas. Zajar huwa an-nahy bishidda wa unf. They were very mean to him. They said things which is mean. They said something which is very strong objection to what he's doing. Okay? Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La tuzrimu. Ya salam. Fi riwaya, La taqta'u. Don't cut him off. Don't disturb him. Just leave him. Leave him until he finishes. Question. Why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave him until he finishes? Okay, so if they attack him and they were approaching him, if he moves, he will urinate everywhere. He will start watering the plants. Okay, the floor. That's right. That's number one. Number two. Huh? No, but why he said don't? So he will not expose himself. Can you imagine? He's like urinating. Yo, what? And what do you want? And you know, خلاص, awra starts showing in front of people. What else? For his health reason, because cutting off the urine in the middle is not healthy. Doctor, is that true? The fuqaha said that, but medically speaking, you can injure your bladder. Very good. So that's another reason. Okay. Also, if they attack him, he might get disturbed. And what he will do? He will urinate at his own clothes or his own body. And that's become another problem where he wash it, where he, you know what I'm saying? So all these reasons made the Prophet ﷺ said, stop, leave him until he finishes. Khalas, he started it. You know, we have a say back home. إِذَا كَلْتْ بَصَلْ كَثَّرْ يعني, if you ate a little bit of onion, just eat the whole thing. You know, if you eat like one spoon, khala, one spoon is like 10. Like half an onion is like a whole onion. If you ate it, eat the whole thing. So, because you got the smell anyway. So here he say, just let him, khala, the problem happened. Let him finish. Then in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very calm way, he said, just bring the noob. A dhanub in Arabic language, it means a big container. But not big, any huge. Big container, like a good size container, like a pitch today, something like in that size. Okay? So you basically, you have it, and he's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ahriqu alayh. The word ahriq, it's an interesting for those who loves Arabic language. Ahriq, it means ariq. Ariq al-ma, araq al-ma, ahraq al-ma, the same thing, same meaning. But we just add the ha, it shows you, يعني, we have qil. في عندنا قاعدة في اللغة العرب. There is a rules in Arabic language. زيادة المبنى زيادة في المعنى. If you add a letter, it means you're adding extra meaning. So what's the extra meaning? يعني put extra water on it. طيب, I have a question for you. So here urinate in this spot. There is urine in it. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered them to bring just a good amount of water and just spill it over it. And that's about it. And that will be enough to clean that place. We learn from this hadith many things. Number one, that the urine of the human being is najis, and that's by the consensus of the Muslim scholars. Najis bittifaq al-ulama. Because, yeah, actually, one of the evidence that they based this rule upon is this hadith. Because human being, you cannot eat his body. That's why you are not, his urine is najis. The only one disagreed with that, a Sufi sheikh once said in Egypt. He said, he used to sit, يعني, is it true or not? But that's what they said in his karamat. كان رحمه الله, he used to, رحمه الله, يجلس على سطح المسجد ويبول على الداخل إلى المسجد والخارج منه. He used to urinate on the people who entering the masjid and leaving the masjid. The barak. Then when he was asked, and I was not surprised, when he was asked, يعني, isn't that najis? It's impure. He said, the human being's urine is not najis. قيل له كيف? How? Then he said, لِأَنَّ لَحْمُهُ يُؤْكَلْ. Because you can eat his flesh. And he said, how can you eat his flesh? He says, the backbiting is eating your brother's. طيب, يعني, backbiting is haram. يعني, how can you use something haram to justify that? Anyway, this was mentioned on Sayyid al-Badawi fi Masr. It was mentioned that Allah alam is authentic or not, but they said that. Anyway, so going back to the point, that bowl al-insan bittifaq al-ulama is najis. And by the way, this kind of story, in my opinion, do not really represent the Sufi in general. Like, as I always say, Sufism is a big word, a very ambiguous word. Sufism can include people who are followers of the Sunnah and can include people who are kuffar. And they are all Sufis. People who murtaddeen al-Islam, out of the fold of Islam, and still consider themselves Sufis. So you have this spectrum, huge spectrum of people, from the farther right to the farther left. And everybody of them call themselves Sufis. So it's not fair to generalize Yani ruling. Anyway, going back to what we're talking about here, is the urine, when it is in the floor, the way to purify it is just to pour water over it. That's it. No more than that. Except the Hanafi said, if the ground is solid, you have to dig it out. But where the Hanafi come with this from? He said, because there is hadith where in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, in this one, خُذُوا مَا بَالَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ التُّرَابِ فَأَلْقُوهُ أَهْرِيقُ مَا. Take the sand out and basically pour water over that spot. So he ordered them actually to take the sand out. But this narration that the Hanafi used, as Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, came in two ways, and both are very weak. And if you're interested to know more detail, he mentioned that in Talkhis al-Habir, and as well Imam al-San'ani rahimahullah and Subul al-Salam talked about that. And that's why the strongest opinion, Allahu A'lam, there is no difference between a solid ground or any if the ground is solid or it is soft. Any, whatever, like carpet. What do? You just pour water over it. And that will be enough to purify this spot. You don't need to do anything else. طيب. Why? Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, pour water. طيب لو قال لك أحد هل قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم when the Prophet said, bring water and pour it over it. It means water is the only way to purify the urine. We say no. Water is not the only way to purify the urine. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just suggested that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's suggestion or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's order to give a pourer not to limit the purification to water. For many reasons. Number one, that we have other evidence to show that the hadith I mentioned last time in Sahih Muslim, hadith Ibn Umar, that dogs sometimes urinate in some of the side of the masjid, and he did not put water over it. The sun and the heat will purify the land with no water, nothing. So if the sun just hit the place until it completely became dry, it's enough. You can use chemical. You can use another sand and you throw it over it and basically tardimu, yani cover it with completely another sand. Today we use chemicals. We don't use, let's give example. You just spray and you just spray the ground and that's enough. That's right. So another way, you go to the bathroom. You find a urine on the toilet seat. Some people think that they have to have water to put it on the toilet seat. You don't. You just take the napkin and you wipe it. Okay? If you wipe it with the napkin, that became pure. Khalas. It's gone. Yeah, it's disgusting, but it is pure. I mean, legally, you're allowed to sit on that place because you removed it. You didn't need to have water. The tissue will be enough for you. Is that clear? Is that clear? That's why you're allowed to make istijmar. I mean, your own body's feces and urine, how would you clean it? You don't have to clean it with what? With water. You can clean it with, in the old days, they used to use what? You know, items like rocks and things that today we have tissues and things of that nature. So here we say that anything to zil ayn al najasa, hiya izal al najasa. Anything that will remove the actual impurity, it is sufficient. إذا يبغى يعني لمن منكم يستفيد, some of you يعني might find this interesting. عندنا فرق بين رفع الحدث ورفع الخبث. We have the removing of the hadath. Remember I told you the hadath, it's major or minor, it means having no wudu or after sexual, that's hadath, after having intercourse. So to removing that is ibadah, is an act of worship. We've been ordered to make wudu, we've been ordered to take shower. Okay, so العباده الوسيله فيها مقصوده. It's something you initiate. Okay. يعني the state, the default state. You have wudu. You're born having wudu. You woke up having wudu. No. The wudu is something you what? You have to initiate. Have to توقع. ولذلك هي عبادة. That's why it's an act of worship. Because you have to initiate it. إذا كان الأمر كذلك, if الشرع order you to do something, وعين لك وسيلة, لزم الاقتصار عليها. The شريعة order you to do something and told you how to do it, you must do it in the way the شريعة told you how. So the شريعة told you the only way to remove the حدث is by what? Water and sand if you don't have water. Is that clear? Is that clear? You will never find any hadith say the only way is water to make wudu. You will never find hadith saying that. ما في حديث يقول لا يتوضا الا بماء. ما في اي حديث في الدنيا يقول كذا. No hadith ever says the only wudu must be done, the wudu only can be must by water. No, but we understood this because it's an order. It's a ibadah we've been ordered to do. And when the ibadah that you've been ordered to do, is sharia show you how, you must stick to that. But raf'u al-khabath laysa min al-ahkam al-taklifiyya. هو حكم وضعي. رفع الخبث is something, removing the najasa, is not an act of worship that you've been ordered to do, يعني to initiated it. No, it is being pure so you can make wudu. It's like having the sun set to make what? Salat al-Maghrib. You're not been ordered to make the sun goes down. But when it is sunset. So this najasa, when it's happened, you remove it. فَهِيَ مَا تُحَدَّدْ بِالْوَسِيلَ. So the wasila here is not must to be followed. فِي الْأَحْكَامِ الْوَضْعِيَّةِ الْوَسَائِلِ اخْتِيَارِيَّةِ فِي الْأَحْكَامِ التَّعَبُّدِيَّةِ الْوَسَائِلِ لَيْسَتْ اخْتِيَارِيَّةِ. Anyway, also one more thing we learn from the hadith. There is a difference between the water coming over the najasa and the najasa coming over the water. When you have a najasa and you put the water over it, even a little bit of water will purify, will remove this najasa. So the water will never become najis. You have a urine, you put water in it. Type the water is not much, it's just a container. Like this. And you put a water. Somebody said it would mix with urine. So that means the water became also najis. So now the najasa became bigger in the masjid. That's not the case. The Prophet didn't say that. So whenever you have najasa and the water comes over it, it will purify. And the water remain pure. Versus if you have a container of water and you go urinate in it. That container became what? Najis. That's right. So we differentiate, and we said before, some people, for example, they have the water hose. They clean themselves. But they clean themselves, and the water touch the najasa, and go touch their thigh, touch their clothes. Somebody said, oh, is that najis? No, because the water atat ala najasa. It will not be considered najis. Like the water when it came to this urine in the ground, and the water goes all over the place. Nobody said that the najasa is everything. Everything wet now became najis. La, al-ax, the whole place became pure. Also, one of the things that we learn from this hadith is respecting masjids. And we should care to keep it clean. The hadith teaches us the importance of keeping the masajid clean. Yes, might not find people, urinate inside the masjid. I'm sorry, I'm going to be blunt, But also, يقاس على ذلك, يعني releasing gas inside the masjid. That's also disturbing. Unless you have to. It will be good idea. You go to the bathroom and you go far away. You keep the masjid smell good, pure, burping. And like some people, أعوذ بالله. You pray next to him and he just produce all these like bad smells. Deodorant. Yes. Somebody said, Sheikh, is it haram to put urine for a woman? Because it has senses. I said, no, it's not haram. It's wajib. It is must. And I'm serious. People like say, Sheikh, it's okay. Yeah, it's must. Because sometimes you bother other people with the smell. Also, don't throw things in the masjid. Let's keep the masjid clean. Also, one of the lessons that we learn, that you have to teach ignorant people with gentleness. You have to know how to teach. Not what to teach, how to teach. The Sahaba knows the ruling, but they didn't know how to teach this ruling to this man. Also, this hadith teaches us the difference between knowledge and wisdom. In America, I read once, they said, knowledge is to know tomato is a fruit. Wisdom, not to put it in your fruit salad. Okay, which is very true. It's a big difference between, between knowledge and wisdom. That's right. Wisdom is for that knowledge to meet the ultimate goal of it. هو الحكمة الوصول إلى الغايات الحميدة من المعلوم. What's the ultimate goal that you want to achieve? What was the ultimate goal the companion want to achieve when they said, stop, don't urinate? What's the ultimate goal that they want? To keep the masjid clean. Are they going to achieve that goal? No, because he already started it. They're going to achieve another goal, which is making it worse, making the najasa spread, making the najasa on him and on the ground. So it became the opposite. So that, no wisdom. Knowledge is correct. The knowledge is, it is forbidden to urinate inside the masjid. But the wisdom wasn't there. A big difference between knowledge and wisdom. That's why the ulama said, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ يَأْمُرْ وَيَنْهَى وَيُعَلِّمْ. If you're going to order someone, if you're going to forbid someone from something, if you're going to teach someone, you have to have three things. Knowledge, gentleness, rifq, and wisdom. لابد أن تكون حكيما رفيقا عالما بما تأمر. حكيما رفيقا عالما بما تنهى. Very important lesson. Also, one of the lessons from this hadith, sometimes الغيرة على الدين والحمية للدين قد لا تكون صواب في كل الأحيان. Sometimes the excitement and the, you know, the overzealous and the, you know, the this fire up, you know, not necessarily to be the right thing. Sometimes it is the wrong thing. The Sahaba were so excited, you know, so angry for the deen of Allah, for you know, can they see the hurmat al-masjid, the masjid been violated. That's haram in front of them. They are so excited to keep the religion pure, to keep the masjid pure. But their excitement, their reaction was not correct. Sometimes we will prefer and we like this fiery speech and fiery position and overzealous and excitement and all this over what is wise, over the wise statement, over the wise position. I like the one who curse and attack and over the person who knows how to make a deal. We know the wisdom is much important. Not all the time, but many times. This, you know, overzealous and this like, you know, حمية والغيرة الزائدة is not in the best interest. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught them this in this incident. Also, one of the lessons of this hadith, then when someone wants to urinate, he should not be doing this in front of public. That's why in public place today for men, for example, they stand up and if there is no partitions between them and the person next to them, unless you have to, you should not do that, showing your aura in front of others. But you should have, you know, privacy. Also, from this hadith we know that urinating in public places is not correct. You know, even in today in modern laws, urinating in public places considered what? An offense. You know, for example, here in the state of Texas, you know, basically in many cities in the state of Texas, there is a specific ordinance regarding public urination. Some places, public urinations may be lumped into a border criminal offense category. Believe it or not. For example, if someone in some places in Texas and across the country, if the person caught urinating in public may be charged with disorderly conduct or indecent exposure. And indecent exposure can be a serious crime and can put the person behind a bar for years. Okay. Just for the record, if you want in Houston, if any police officer caught you urinating in a public place, that's a fine of $209. Not that I had this experience. Alhamdulillah, not. Never caught. I mean, never did. Okay, and but it's a fee. In England, for example, it is £45. Okay, it's a crime, and I'm just saying that because it's interesting how in our religion, it is you don't do it in front of people in public because it's like, you know, especially if it's a place where people benefit from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rizqna wa yakun fiqh al-deen. Inshallah, next hadith, we have very interesting two hadith to cover as well, very short. Yeah, he only did that because he's ignorant. He's a Bedouin. He doesn't know the rules, the etiquette. He thinks this is like homes and houses, so he can. There's an empty place, and he went in the corner and started urinating. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. See you, inshallah, next week.